Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net, number 312 for December 11th, 2023. Now that's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. And if you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. And I'm going to pause now for priority traffic or to allow for stations to disconnect from the conference if they do not want to stick around for our net. Okay, I'm gratified to see that we have several more check-ins queued up here than we have seen lately, so good news. All right. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. Those are the four items that we like to hear from check-ins. If you don't have an SDF username yet, that's okay. Your handle, your call sign, your QTH, that's what we like to hear. This net meets every Monday at 0 hours UTC, GMT, anyway, whatever you want to call it, basically London time, on Echolink node 9229, which is the TechLink conference, and we would like to thank Michael, BE6UX, for making this conference available to us for our weekly net. Our net is open to all radio amateurs. You do not have to be a member of the SDF Amateur Radio Club to participate. This is a directed net. That means that when you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Did I say that already? Let me reset the timer. We like to have a topic of the week to kickstart our discussions. And after 312 nets, I'm really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel looking for topics, and it's probably time for me to go back to the beginning and start recycling all the ones from day one. But anyway, today, my local ham club, I think a few years ago, the board was meeting and deciding what kind of program are we going to have for our December meeting, and we didn't have somebody willing to make a presentation. So somebody suggested, well, why don't we just have a holiday banquet? You know, let's just go to a restaurant, have a nice steak dinner, and socialize. And frankly, if there's anything the local hams here like to do more than talking on the radio, it's talking at the restaurant table. So that suggestion was soundly adopted. And so ever since then, our December meeting has been a banquet. So that's going to be this coming Tuesday. And so my question is, my topic for the week is, does your club do something different at holiday time, you know, December, this time of year, than normal? So that's, I know it's stretching. Anyway, where am I on? I have several call signs on the dashboard here. I'm going to run down them real quick. KC3LYZ, VE6UX, N4RNW, KQ4MII, W7TUE, and I think we lost a couple of them there. Maybe they'll be back. So anyway, all of you who just heard your call sign, you're on my list, and I'll be calling on you in turn soon. Let's see, do I have anything else to say here? Right. Because we have the NB0X-L gateway running, it's possible that there's somebody out there on DMR or All-Star who's listening to me and would like to join us. So I'm going to make one call to see if there's anyone over there who wants to drop their call sign in and be added to my list. So All-Star or DMR only right now. Okay, I heard some buzzing there. Maybe some kind of technical problems there, but I'll wait again for another try. Okay, nothing heard, but you can try again later during the net. And I see that KE2CEL had to drop out. Evidently not feeling too well. That's okay. I'll make a note that that station appeared but was not available for a check-in. What is the time for my pencil to run out of lead? There we go. All right. Gotcha. Okay. So first on my list is the E6UX.
Well, I didn't expect that. Usually I'm not at the top of the list. It's 6 degrees Celsius here. I wrote it in the text box there somewhere. See if I can find it. That's 42 degrees Fahrenheit. Going to be turning to slush by Thursday by the looks of it, but we're going to have snow tonight and tomorrow, and we have some snow on the ground. And, of course, this being Alberta, people can't drive. You'd think being in a winter place that you'd be able to drive. We'll be seeing an actual Chinook coming up, so that'll warm things up as well. Not a whole lot going on here. Weekend off. I don't make it into the Friday night TechNet often. I don't get home from work. I don't get off work till 5:30. Don't leave it until about 10 to 6. And depending on traffic, then the TechNet part of the net is usually over before I finish dinner. So I got a whole hockey sock full of these Ryza, what do they call these things, Arduino Nano RP2040 Connects on my desk, all ready to put into some robots, which I have to print a few more of. So this is the Victor Echo 6 Uniform X-Ray. I'm back to AB9FJ and the net.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Always good to hear from you. Next on my list is KC3LYZ.
This is KC3LYZ, Bob in Philadelphia, STF username Robert R. Missed the last few with some football games, but back now. Yeah, we used to have a nice holiday dinner every year at a restaurant the last few years. I haven't heard anything this year. I guess the president's a little late getting it together, so hopefully maybe by the end of the month we'll do something, but... yeah, it would be good because we lost our meeting place now with COVID and different things like that. So back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Next up is N4RNW, and it's good to see both of you back here.
Well, good evening, Wayne and the group. N4RNW, Harold down here in Southwest Florida. Really nothing new. I think we're within minutes of that front coming through that went through Tennessee last night. It won't be as violent, but still supposed to give us some rain. And other than that, there's really nothing going on down here. So, Wayne, back to you. Hope you're staying warm up in Illinois. N4RNW.
Saturday... the high was around 52, and today I think it was probably somewhere in the 30s, maybe even less. It was pretty chilly today. It's supposed to get a little bit warmer again, though, once this cold front passes through. And I think the long-range forecast is for the rest of the month of December to be relatively mild. So looking forward to that. So anyway, thank you, Harold. And next on my list is KQ4MII.
Thank you, Wayne. Hello, everybody. Kilo Quebec for Mike India India. Mark from Reston, Virginia. My SDF login is M Cornick. Regarding the question of the week, my club also does a holiday party, potluck dinner kind of thing. Unfortunately, I have a prior commitment for this year, so I won't be able to go. So I have to try again next year. Potential item of radio interest, I had occasion this past week to go out to one of the most sparsely populated places in West Virginia, Pendleton County, the town of Franklin, which lies within the National Radio Quiet Zone, which is a very large swath of West Virginia and Virginia that in which RF is very severely restricted in order to protect both the Green Bank Radio Astronomy Telescope and the Sugar Grove MSA listening station that are in that area. So it was interesting, you know, between that and the fairly rugged terrain, I think you would have a lot of difficulty operating out there, but I did manage to talk to a few hams while I was out there, and apparently it does happen just under, different conditions. So anyway, that was kind of a harrowing drive over the mountain and back, but I made it and did what I had to do. So that's all I got for this week. I will send it back to Net Control from KQ4MII.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Well, I'm just kind of curious, what kind of special measures did you have to take while you were operating amateur radio in that zone?
So I didn't actually operate myself, and I didn't ask a whole lot of time to ask a whole lot of questions. I would imagine that power is probably reduced on transmit, and I think for any kind of what they call an intentional radiator, that is, something that you intend to transmit RF, you have to get clearance from the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, and they have to basically look over your plans and go to the FCC and say, yeah, this isn't going to interfere with us. So I know it affected, when I was in college nearby, the FM radio station that I worked at there had a very reduced power. Our effective radiated power was 390 watts, which was about enough to reach the campus and not much else. And there was very little in the way of commercial broadcasting in that area as well. So I don't know all the details, but I know as you get closer and closer to the telescope, there are things like even, gasoline engines, they don't allow because spark plugs give off RF. You have to drive a diesel. So, I imagine that the people who live there and operate there are very familiar with all of this and know how to do everything they need to do. KQ4MII, clear.
Okay, well, thank you for filling in some of those details there. That is a very interesting place there, and I would be curious about how people adapt to living under those conditions. Like you say, driving a diesel instead of a gasoline engine car. All right. Next on my list is KD9NDJ.
Good evening, Wayne and the group. I'm going to make sure that I'm getting through. I'm experiencing some technical difficulties, so let me assure that this is working.
You sound marvelous.
All right, then. I'm using a new internet provider, many ports are blocked, so I'm delving into the world of using a proxy server to do Echolink. Never had to do that before, but apparently it's working. I missed the very beginning because the EchoHam software on the Macintosh keeps crashing. But I gather you're talking about something or other in particular. Hard to get it. Could you fill me in?
Certainly. This is December. It's kind of the holiday season. You've got Hanukkah, and you've got Christmas, and you've got Kwanzaa, and you've got Festivus, and Saturnalia, and the list goes on. So this is a time of year when people kind of interrupt their usual, routine and do something different. And I was saying that several years ago, as the board members of the local club decided what are we going to have for a program for the December meeting, we didn't have any ideas for a program, and someone suggested, let's have a banquet. Because, if you can't listen to somebody talk about ham radio, you can at least eat and talk about ham radio. So that's been a roaring success ever since. So every December, in place of a regular club meeting, we go to a restaurant and we eat and we talk and socialize and just have a good time. So my question was for any other, you're here in the same club as I am, but other clubs around the world, what do people do during this month? Do they deviate from their usual routine of club activities, or do they do anything different? That's kind of what the topic is this week. And after 312 some odd nets, I am kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel looking for topics. So I'm sorry if this is a stretch. Now, let me acknowledge that I see John, BK3HJQ, has joined us, so I'm jotting you down here. You're on my list. BK3HJQ. All right. And I'm ready to take the next check-in, which is Whiskey 7 Tango Uniform Echo. And I don't recognize that call sign, so I think I should welcome you to our little net here.
Hi, I'm having some technical difficulty. Apologize for that. This is Whiskey 7 Tango Uniform Echo. Peter, I'm in Buckeye, Arizona, and my SDF screen name is Peter's Raspberry Pi 400. Let me break for a moment here. And our club is the West Valley Amateur Radio Club in Phoenix. We're basically based in Sun City, although I live in Buckeye. And we don't really have a Christmas banquet, but our December meeting serves as our Christmas party get-together. We hold our annual elections. We take our dues renewals, you know, membership renewals. And we have some gift exchanges and some a cookie exchange. And this year we had a six-foot-long sub. We had about 80 people show up, and our club has over 300 dues-paying members. We also have weekly lunches and weekly breakfasts. So even during that, especially during the holiday seasons, we don't miss each other's company. And I want to thank you for letting me be in the net. This is W7TUE back to net control.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this week, Peter. My club, I think we maybe have 75 dues-paying members, and perhaps 20 will show up at a monthly meeting. And you said that your SDF username was Peter's Raspberry Pi 400, but that sounds like it's too long to be a real name. So perhaps is it abbreviated somehow?
No, that's just the handle I chose for SDF was the name of the machine I was using at the time.
Okay, well, is it spelled out like Raspberry rather than, say, Raz?
Yeah, it's just Raspberry. I spelled the whole thing out.
Okay, well, all right, I'll look around to see if I can find it. Thank you for joining us this week. We do this every week, so please feel free to come back every Monday at 0 hour GMT. So, let me check my list here. I have a VK3HJQ.
Yeah, that's me. You have to get your own call sign, Wayne. VK3HJ and a Q. Is it still morning? Yeah, morning from down under, 11:22 a.m., 11th of December, for far out. We've got 2 weeks to Chrissy on the day. Chrissy's on a Monday over here. Yeah, Michael said, what did Michael send me a message on thing? And he said, in time to catch the net. And I thought, what net? I went over to Ham and there was a Scars net on there, and I thought, well, he's obviously not there. And I come over to TechLink and he's talking about this net. Too many nets on at the same time. Anyway, here's what it is. Up at 5:30 this morning, riding me pushy, it was absolutely dark. All the street lights are still on. I don't know why I was getting up that early morning. Anyway, thunderstorm and lightning. And I just made it home in time. Only did 4.8 Ks, and it started raining, so otherwise I would have got a wet you-know-what. With no mudguards on the wheels, of course, the wet water sprays up your rear, which is not a good look. Anyway, Hangar's getting up too early to go for a push bike ride. If I don't, it gets too hot. What else to report? I suppose you had a question of the day. Have no idea what it is. You might tell me if there was one. If there's not, well, then don't worry about it, Wayne. VK3HJQ.
Well, the question was, you know, if you have a club that you belong to and it has monthly activities, the question is your club doing something different for the month of December because it's a holiday month? And I'm not sure how festive December is down under, but up here in North America, I think you can imagine that we usually have, in some parts of the country anyway, we have snow and cold weather and Christmas and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and, you know, all those things going on. So the club that I belong to has we go out to dinner instead of having a club meeting. So the question was, does your club do something different than usual because it's December?
Yeah, from Big Catch Rates, J.K. Well, no to both those. No, I'm not a member of the club, and I have no idea what they do because I'm not a member. I think there's actually three radio clubs. There was one, and then there was a big rumble up, and then a couple of guys started another club, and then there was a rumble in that club, so they started another club. They all have separate repeaters, and they don't like the other club members talking on the other repeaters. It's just a total mess where I live, Wayne, so I'm definitely not a member of any of those clubs, over.
What? Are those clubs who would have you for a member, so you would not join?
Sorry, what was what did you just say?
Well, Michael mentioned earlier in the chat there that the quote from Groucho Marx that he would not be a member of a club that would have it.
Oh, well, I didn't see that in the text box. good on you, Michael. No, I'm not a member of the club because they're a bunch of wallies. That's basically the reason. There's so much infighting, and like I said, they all have their separate repeaters, and they don't like club members from the other club talking on the other repeaters, and they all stick it to each other, and they're just a bunch of, you know, what's Wayne, and they should all get together and they could probably do something constructive, but no, they can't agree, they agree to disagree, I think's the problem with them all. Anyway, so no, I'm not a member of any club there, over.
So I think I heard you call them Wallys. Is that like W-A-L-L-Y? Is that kind of an Australian slang for, I don't know, what's the equivalent that we might use in the United States here? You know, I don't know, idiot or something like that?
Yeah, you know, where's Wally? Well, we call them Wallys. You know, drongos, idiots, no-hopers, I don't know. I was trying to be nice, Wayne.
I'm just, you know, educating myself about the lingo so that I don't misunderstand it in the future. All right. So, anyway, thank you, John, for joining us. It's been a while since we've heard your dulcet tones of voice. I guess you've been busy with other nets and other conferences and so on. So, anyway, always good to have you back here. And let's see. I do not see any new call signs. Oh, wait. Oh, no, Ken just came back, but I don't see any new call signs on the dashboard, so at this point, I'm opening it up for anyone who wants to add something to what they said before. So, rechecks, please call now.
KD9NDJ, I'm rechecking and let's test yet another computer on proxy.
Okay, Ken, you're a little bit noisier on this computer than you were on the other one, but I was able to copy you 100%.
I'll be danged. I'm a happy camper. I learned something. I'm always happy when I learn something. That's all I got. 89NDJ.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we're almost 30 minutes into the net, and lately I've been trying to drag my feet and keep the net going, at least to the half-hour mark, to accommodate like the ham conference or any other... what am I trying to say here? We haven't heard from BK2DY. Ah, I see we have KO4 Lima Lima Uniform. That call sign sounds kind of familiar, but I think John there is probably still hearing the welcome message from the conference, so I'm going to wait for a moment here. And then I'm going to say KO4LLU, welcome to the SDF ARC net. And it's your turn to be a check-in if you want to. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. This is KO4LLU. It's John in Alabama. I just was coming by and happened to see this one, something going on, so I just wanted to check in, and I'll just listen for a while tonight, and I appreciate everybody being here. It's KO4LLU. Back over to you.
Okay, thank you, John. I'm trying to do a couple of things here at the same time, and I think I lost part of my train of thought, but part of it was that I'm looking on SDF, and the chat in the Anon radio room, someone was asking about being able to join from Europe. The exact question was, I guess there's no way to join from Europe. But the answer to that is no. In fact, we have had people joining from Europe in the past. And just tonight, you've heard people joining us from Australia. So this is actually available all over the world. If you have your amateur radio license and register with the Echolink organization, then you can check into our net. And that's okay. Yes, you have to be a ham. So get yourself a license and then register with the Echolink organization, and then you can check into the net. So, sorry if the people in Echolink are wondering what I'm talking about, but that's because I'm looking at the com on SDF at the same time that I'm looking at the Echolink application. So anyway, I'm ready to take any other rechecks. Right. Well, just to fill some time a little bit here, for the benefit of Handy C over there on com, he says that he's interested, he says that he wants to be a ham, and so that he can join us in here. And the thing is, I know that Handy C is in the Netherlands, and I do not know what the requirements are for getting an amateur radio license in Holland, or in the Netherlands. However, I know that there are a lot of people around the world have gotten American ham licenses by various means. Maybe they'll come to the United States on vacation and go to an exam session while they're here and get themselves a United States ham license. And I know that in a few rare cases, there have been, you know, efforts to, like, to start a ham club in a country that never had a ham tradition. And they might arrange for a United States FCC exam session in a little country like, say, Albania or something, right? And thus, you know, get an American ham license to form a cadre of hams in that country and to work on establishing a regular ham infrastructure. Anyway, long story short, the United States apparently allows foreigners to get American ham licenses. So that's something that you might look into. Okay, yeah. Handy C is posting something that I'm not going to read yet. So anyway, we've passed the half an hour mark, so there's been time for people from the ham conference to finish up their net, whatever net is going on over there, and join us. And only John has joined us. We don't have the East. Robert, the East Seven. I forget. Anyway, so I'm rambling. I probably should make one more call for rechecks before I just wrap the whole net. Right. No more check-in or no more rechecks. So at this time, I will say that this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club net at, let's call it, 0035 Zulu. If you would like to continue the conversation, well, come on over to SDF into the Anon radio room in COM, where there are several of us in there right now. That's it. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ, saying 73.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne, for the net. Are you still listening there, Michael? What's his call sign, VE6UX?
Still present and accounted for.
Hello, got you marked off. That's one. Oh, boy. Do you like Peter's plasma cutter he bought?
Yeah, it's not a laser cutter, but I guess it'll do. We have a plasma cutter down at the space, but I have access to laser cutters all over the place, including my wife's, once I bring it home.
Oh, right. Never seen a laser cutter. Obviously do a better job than a plasma cutter. Anyway, he just got it, and we were just mucking around. So, you going to read the book? No, no, it's right. Anyway, he's supposed to set the pressure on a certain pressure, and he just cranked it up, and I didn't realize how it worked. And I still can't figure out why it's got... Okay, here's a question, Michael. It's obviously got... it's DC, so it's got positive and negative on the tip, so when you pull the gun, after a couple of seconds, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds after the air sprays out, the thing, the plasma arcs up. But why do you have a ground connection? Because I said to Peter, well, you're going to have to ground the thing like a normal, you know, welder. And he said, no, I can just hold the gun up in the air and press the button and it still works. So what's the point of having an earth connection on the bench then?
For some reason or other, my push button only works on when I'm in Windows. I can't remember having run the plasma cutter. It was like 11, 12 years ago last time we did it. We made a big blooming mess of the driveway because they were cutting a sign on the driveway with Makerspace or with Protospace on it. And people didn't realize how hot that sucker got, so it says Protospace permanently in our driveway. I don't know exactly how they work. I'm not a metalwork person. Laser cutter will cut thin stainless steel. Ours isn't very powerful. We have a couple of 380 watt plasma cutters, 280s and 100, I think, at work. My wife's is I can't remember, 40 watt, and we have a 280 watt laser cutters at Protospace as well. I kind of like cleaner stuff. I'm not into metalwork anymore. I'll be 6UX.
Yeah, okay, Dave, because I have to look it up in the end. I thought you might know, because me and Pete didn't have a clue. We just screwed the nozzle and threw the tip in and turned it on, plugged some compressed air in the back and just started fiddling with the controls. I said, well, you know what you do? All else fails, read the manual. And the manual didn't really say much either. And I said, well, how come it's working when you're not actually touching it? You know, like you're not creating the arc against the earth. So it must have DC going to the tip. Because like I said, in fresh air, you just pull the button, and after about 5 seconds of compressed air rushing out through, which is obviously to cool it, and obviously the air's there to blow all the swarf off the off the hole you're cutting or whatever you're cutting. But I couldn't work out why you need to have an earth connection on the bench if the gun works when you're not even got it grounded. Because obviously there must be, because being DC is obviously plus and minus already going to the handpiece. I have to look it up on the internet. Anyway, we got it working. Worked ripping. He cut 12mm plate with it. Got a bit of aluminium and mucked it up a bit. It sort of just blew the aluminium everywhere. 4mm flat. Cut it beautiful. Did a beautiful job of that. So, anyway, another toy to the collection. I know what you're doing, Michael. You're looking it up on the internet, aren't you?
Yeah, well, EcoStink still is a problem with me. According to the internet, and yes, I did look it up, the ground lead is just a work lead. It's not required to use the plasma cutter.
So the ground lead is a work lead. So what does that mean? I mean, why are you connecting a ground if you don't need it?
Probably so you don't become the arc if something fails on the cutter itself.
Oh, so you're saying they ground everything, so the metal you're cutting and the, obviously Peter's got that metal bench that he made up, so everything's ground. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. But I knew you'd be looking it up on the internet. That's what I was going to do. Yeah, but it works a treat. So anyway, now he's got a TIG, a MIG, plasma cutter. I said, what are you going to do with it? He says, I don't know, I'll find something. Of course, oh, the cable arrived for his milling machine. He ordered 20 metres of cable. And we've still got to fix up some 15-amp stock, because all these things run off 15-amp, especially that plasma cutter. He's got an adapter that converts 15 to 10, but it's got a 10-amp circuit breaker in it, like an RCBO. And, of course, that kept tripping out when we cranked the current up. So I said, we're going to have to wire that shut up. You've got three phase. Just run a neutral and put a couple of, maybe two or three 15-amp outlets in there dedicated. Anyway, he's having fun. That's the main thing, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw that Chesterfield and everything in there, or couch and everything in there. I figure Peter's moving into the garage to live.
Yeah, well, I said to him, I said, what's that thing in there? He says, oh, sometimes I take a snooze there. And then he went and bought some carpet squares. He bought 100 of them. They were $1 each, so it cost him $100 for carpet squares. I said, what do you do with 100? I said, how many do you use in the garage there? He says, in the back, unless the back section, because he's got a wall in there now, about 30. I said, what do you do with the other 60? He says, I don't know. But yeah, well, I mean, there's a behind that wall there's a sink there, there's hot water, there's a basin. Behind the other wall there's a toilet. Now he's got that, what do you call it, Chesterfield? You mean that couch looking thing, whatever? So I don't know what the case is. Maybe when he gets tired he has a snooze there, Michael.
Yeah, that's how it is at Protospace. They got a couple of Chesterfields and things, couches, whatever. People sleep on those things when they're working on their projects overnight, mainly when they're doing their printing, and that's because the printers down there are slower than molasses. I like mine. They're fast, but mine are noisy, too.
Yeah, from Big H3HJQ. Anyway, he's done a good job because there's a reverse cycle air conditioner there, so obviously he's put that wall up, he's put a curtain there. He's got an upside-down rubber mat so that if he spills oil on the mat, I said, we don't get on the carpet. And he said, I've got plenty of carpet squares, I'll just replace it. Then he went and bought another toolbox, like he needs another toolbox, like a hole in the head. But anyway, it's all full of stuff already. And he finally got that. Did I send you the pictures of the 400? I think I did. Yeah, with the extended tank, which didn't fit. So he's bought two DRZ 400s. One had a gearbox problem, and one had the Conrod through the engine block. Anyway, he's made one out of two, and he's got all that going. And I said, well, put the standard tank on it and get it registered, and then work out how you're going to put that big safari tank thingo on it. Another bike to the collection. Anyway, I suppose it keeps him off the streets, Michael.
Yeah, at least one can hope. That's where you don't want him to be. That's why you get your kids interested in stuff like robots or photography or anything else that makes it so that they can't afford to buy drugs with any money they may have left over in V6UX.
Yeah, I don't think my kids would ever get into drugs. Did you see that new program that Google's released, Gemini? Did you look at the links I sent you on that? Because Dave was actually at Google DeepMind the day they released it.
What is that? Another one of them supposedly machine learning automatic robots or something?
Yeah, basically that's the crux of it. Yeah, you ask it questions and it does stuff. But have a look at the links. Just scroll back up on Skype, and there's some demos of how it all works. Pretty intelligent thing, because OpenAI brought out GPT Chat 4, and Google thought, well, we've got to make something better, so they've been working on this for several years, and it's called Gemini. They just released it the other day. Dave's actually moving to London at the end of the month. He's got some teaching he's got to do there in London, so rather than travelling back from Cambridge to London, he decided to move to London. What else did I have to tell you? Oh, I sent me pictures of me bike, and Pete's making me up another one in the Santa Claus workshop. Bring that home for Christmas. I thought he said it had a carbon fiber frame, but it doesn't. It's only an alloy frame. But hydraulic seat, that's pretty tricky. I don't know why you want a hydraulic seat. Air front shocks, 24-speed, disc brakes. Never had a bike with disc brakes before, so that'd be interesting. Maybe they'll actually stop rather than those silly rubber pads that rub against the wheels.
Yeah, it looks like I got another thing to add to my block list then, like I did with Twit.
Yeah, that's the one. That's it. So what's going on with the weather over there? Still freezing cold and snowing? It's hot here. We've been having, I think I sent you the thing about Western South Australia. They had a couple of temperatures hitting 45 over there. We've had a couple of days of 30.
I think it's about 6 degrees Celsius now. We're going to get down to about 10 this week and then up to about 18 next week.
Oh, that's not too bad then. So it's still snowing or not?
Well, it isn't snowing this second, but we're supposed to get a few centimeters overnight and then snow again tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. Snow's good fun. I mean, the only problem with the snow, it's cold. If it wasn't cold, I'd probably like it. So how did you go on with your, I haven't heard any reports on your truck, your heater for your truck and all the issues you were having. Did you get all that sorted as well? I mean, you usually just type me stuff on Skype. It's easier for me to talk to you.
There, deepmind.google is blocked from my system as well.
Oh, there's some smart cookies at DeepMind. Like I said, David's been going there once a week because that's where his supervisor is for his PhD. Although while he's working at Cambridge, he had to put the PhD on hold, but he'll be starting that back up again. A lot of smart cookies in DeepMind, I tell you what.
Well, I tell you what, when this artificial intelligence realizes that we power it up, it's going to stop us from unplugging it.
Oh, no, that's already happened, Michael. Once they let it on the internet, GPT Chat 4, they can't turn it off. I said to David, ages ago we were talking about, you know, how it was going and how they were scared of what's going to happen. I said, we'll just flick the switch. He said, well, we can't, because it's smart enough not to turn itself off. Well, they can't turn it off. So basically, it's out there already.
Yeah, I believe in doing the work myself, not in cheating and getting somebody else to do work for me, like them lawyers and probably the next president.
Well, I hope Mr. T doesn't get in again. Far out. I don't know how he got in the first place. Anyway, I won't go into politics. But, yeah, there was a thing where a lawyer was using ChatGPT 4 to generate some of the stuff that he was submitting. Then when they submitted it, the judge said, well, what's all this cock and you know what? And he says, where'd you get this information from? He says, ChatGPT-4, and they found out half it was a load of rot. They took it for gospel that what it was spitting out was the correct stuff, but it was, you know, like case studies and stuff, it just made half the stuff up. So, yeah, it's going to be a whole new world, that's for sure. Well, I mean, it is now. People are scared, and they've been for a while.
Yeah, this is one U.S. judge fined two lawyers for using ChatGPT. Several other have been caught. It's cheating. It doesn't matter what you do. They're stealing stuff off the Internet and then passing it off as their own work. Everywhere I find that uses it, I just ban. Eventually, I'll only have like two or three places to talk, but I don't care. I like to know I'm talking to somebody that's real.
Yeah, but go to HJQ. Well, they've been faking lots of things, faking photos, faking audio, a conversation. They had a conversation, they couldn't tell whether they were having a real conversation with a person or a bot. Paintings, drawings, artwork, cartoons, all being knocked off now. There's just going to go on and on and on. They don't know which is the real stuff and which is the fake stuff.
Well, pretty soon you're going to have to actually go into work and be seen working at stuff. I mean, it was bad enough everybody be chatting on the Internet while they're at work in the first place or on their phones or whatever. Now they're not even going to go to work. They're just going to let the stupid robot do all their junk.
Well, they will. I mean, publishers, people that have to draft up, you know, some sort of written stuff, what do you need them for now? News reporters, what do you need them for? You don't need any of those people anymore. Well, they've already had that strike for the artists and the filmmakers overseas because, I mean, you don't need them either. I mean, this thing can generate anything. You just ask it, it'll generate a movie with characters in it. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to be out of jobs. I mean, there'll be a lot of new jobs open up, but if you're non-skilled, I think you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, at least you know the Chinese aren't reading it. You still can't read the directions to the stuff they sell.
Yeah, well, you can usually tell when you buy something and you get the thing. Hang on, I've got to go, Michael. We've got 3HJQ.
All right, John, 73, VE6UX.